found that canned ham, and I put it in a pot of boiling water, and guess what I'm calling it?
Soup?
Hot ham water.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, nourishing radio.
Mm. So watery, and yet there's a smack of ham to it.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Madeline.
And I'm Max.
And you're listening to us for this next hour of radio.
Woo!
Woo! That was my favorite station ID ever. That was ripped from Arrested Development, which is one of my favorite shows ever.
Aww.
So
that's adorable. I love
you.
It. So we have a great hour of music ahead.
Yes, a combination of a lot of different things, some of my faves from local and beyond. So the first song will be from Jay Arner, who is a local artist who I don't think has released anything recently, but my favorite song of theirs. And then Haley Blay,
okay,
who I like a lot, and her song Small Foreign Faction.
That sounds awesome.
Yay. All right, let's do it.
Just a foreign faction, irreconcilable conflict at parties. I feel like a chain reaction, but sadly I don't know how it started. I never wanted anything and I never got it. I never wanted anything and I'm
a little bit closer.
The 16th annual Vancouver Dyke March and Festival is this Saturday, August 3rd. Gather for the march at 11 a.m. at McSpadden Park, just off Commercial Drive. The march begins at noon and ends at Grandview Park, where the festival will be held from 1 to 5 p.m. Come march against sexual and gender depression, especially where it intersects. This free, family-friendly festival aims to recharge attendees through inclusive celebration.
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting on the ancestral and ceded and traditional territories of the Musqueam people.
Awesome. I'm Max.
And I'm Madeline.
And, wow, I'm still thinking about the advertisement that we just played, because Closer is just, it's a bop.
It slaps.
It really does slap.
I'll admit it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Tegan and Sarah on Twitter are amazing. Have you seen their account?
Oh my gosh, I haven't seen their account recently, but I've like, you know how you get like some tweets that show up where like a bunch of people that you follow have also liked that tweet?
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of their stuff comes up occasionally, but maybe that's just because of who I follow, so
which is good. I feel like that means you're following good people.
Which also, speaking of, guess what this weekend is?
Pride.
I don't know, what is this weekend? Vancouver's so interesting that they have Pride not coinciding with the Stonewall anniversary. I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like,
I wonder if any of our listeners out there have a reason for us why Vancouver decided to be special.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Pride marches almost never coincide with...
No, but a lot of them are held in June in general, which is
Pride
like
Month.
Coincides with the anniversary of Stonewall. So I'm just wondering why Vancouver decided to be special.
I don't know. We need some answers. But there's the Pride at Redgate event going on Saturday evening.
No, Sunday.
Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. Which has a super great lineup by Iwana and Kylie V and Devours. Amongst others, so definitely check that out if you are looking for something to do this Pride weekend. Do you want to talk about Love Island at all?
Oh my god. Okay, so full disclosure, I don't actually follow along Love Island, so this is just all going to be spoiled. But a lot of my friends, including the one who's sitting across from me right now, is obsessed with Love Island. So give us the whole lowdown. Like, what was the drama?
Well, the drama was, like, I think that Love Island has unlocked the perfect combination of making it seem like reality television while it being clearly very produced and, like, engineered. Because the people who won, they had this, like, perfect arc. Her name was Amber. And she had this perfect arc of, like, falling in love and then getting her heart broken and then falling in love again with a better man. And then they won. And it was just, I've never seen reality television produce that perfectly before. And also, they've unlocked the, like, perfect way to get people totally obsessed in that it was every night for 8 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I don't know what to do anymore. Yeah. It was really intense. It's a little bit freeing that now I don't have to, like, catch up with an hour of reality television every night.
Like, how can... I just feel like that must be a really costly show to produce.
Definitely.
You have to do, like, every corner crevice to, like, catch all the hot goss.
Yeah, yeah. And constant editing, too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They're finally getting some sleep, maybe. Sleeping on their millions. Maybe.
Who knows? So, I don't know who the victors are. I guess that's probably... I don't know. I guess you can't really, like, spoil it, but, like, what was, like, who were some of the people that were on Love Island?
There is, a lot of them are, like, quasi-celebrities that just want more fame.
So, like, B-list actors?
Exactly. Or something like that? Or, like, siblings of actually famous people.
So, like, who do we have?
We had Tommy, who was the brother of Tyson Fury, who's like a boxer, and some influencers.
Ooh.
Like Molly May.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're all influencers now. I mean, well, yeah, that's course. What the real prize is to be able to sell, like, sugar bear hair vitamins on Instagram for the rest of your life.
Oh, my God. We can't even go to that whole charade of things.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Okay. Well, maybe that's...
traumatizing.
Discussion for later in the
discussion
hour.
Discussion for later.
So up next, we have Echo Arms by Mr. Twin Sister, which also slaps. That's a bop.
Slaps. Yeah, I know. I was listening to a little bit before the show, you know, just ooh. Like get a little sample of like what's coming ahead. And I have to say, that was a knocker.
Awesome. And then The Hopeless Romantic by Trudy and the Romance.
Alrighty.
Which I also like. Let's get to it.
Thank you. crying boys they can't laugh about.
She cried with love.
No home she doubts me.
She never went away.
But I had kissed her on lullaby lane. God only knows why she came. Always twist my gut. And I'm mad about the girl we fucked up.
All right, hello, welcome back.
Hello.
That was Echo Arms by Mr. Twin Sister and The Hopeless Romantic by Trudy and the Romance.
Yeah, wow, I really liked Echo Arms. I thought it was good.
Yeah, me too. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a good, like, prepping to party song, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So for this next little bit, I think we want to talk about adults who like Disney, who obsessively like Disney.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so the internet was riled up this past week with
breaking news
about how there's a growing trend of young 20-somethings going to Disney World or Disneyland to just enjoy and immerse themselves in the Disney simulation. And yeah, I don't know. It's so weird.
So people were divided basically over whether it's okay.
Or if it's just whack.
Right. I personally am of the opinion that it's whack.
I think it's whack, but I also understand why people, because when you're like taking your kids to Disney World, it's actually like not that great of an experience as a parent, unless you're like using your kid as the reason to go to Disney
as a proxy.
So it's like, I don't know. I feel like the dynamics of just consciously choosing to go to Disney World or Disneyland for vacation are just very, very difficult to pin down.
You're right. And I guess if you're just using your child as an excuse to go to Disney World, you may as well just go by yourself.
So maybe it isn't that weird that like 20-somethings and like early 30-somethings that don't have kids yet are going and enjoying themselves at Disneyland.
And isn't it better for like adults who are consciously buying into the consumerism of Disney as opposed to like bringing their tiny children?
I guess so. I mean, I think it's really interesting because you do see there's now, I guess this would be considered like the second or third generation of people who have pretty much grown up just with Disney as like the sole golden like example of animation
and
films
and
like everything.
Yeah.
So like what better way to spend it than, you know, live in a simulation for a few days.
Right. Just totally pretend that you're living in a world where there's castles and
fairies are real
and pirates and talking mice.
Although to be fair, fairies are real. just not the Disney way. I don't know what I'm saying here.
Anti-Disney,
I'm pro-fairy. I'm just like pro. I mean, like, I don't know. I think there's some merit to, like, that whole idealized viewpoint that Disney is trying to bring.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't have that in their lives. And actually, from an urbanist perspective,
oh my God,
I have to bring it in back to what I study, but Disneyland or Disney World, they're like some of the few places on this continent that people can fully, like, just not have to deal with work or anything. It's just fully leisure. And even traveling to other places, you can't really do that. And it's also very pedestrian friendly. It's very inviting. It's sort of this weird corporatist urban simulation on top of each other with very multi layers. But it's sort of, in a weird way, is a good example of what could be. And I feel like a lot of people go to these places because they're longing for that sort of community, or like the bonding of, you know, being immersed with something that everyone around you agrees with.
Right. And in this like fantasy world of not going to work, and they're not being cars, and they're not being... Yeah, that's very interesting.
A place where dreams come true.
Stop. No. No. Enough.
But yeah, I mean, I think that that's sort of what the whole like tweet division was sort of highlighting, is that, you know, for some people, it's an outlet to like hope for something better.
I guess my main problem with it, though, is just,
but it's just
how expensive it is.
It's so expensive. It's also really corny. And like, there are places in the world that would love some attention and deserve some. So,
well, Disney's estate grows and grows.
Yeah. Well. Anyways.
So, well, there's some interesting aspects for you, and you get to decide for yourself whether you...
You can tweet
us. How creeped out you are. Yeah, you can tweet us how creeped out you are by adults without children going to Disney.
Yeah.
So, let's play some more music.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yay. We've got two new releases, Strange by Big Thief off their UFOF album, which is such a beautiful album. I love it so much. And then Whitney released two singles, and I played Giving Up a couple weeks ago, and this is their second one, Valleys in brackets, My Love.
Awesome.
Destroy every power you enjoy to lay with. Bard on the Beach, Shakespeare Festival's 30th season, is running now until September 21st. It's housed in two modern theater tents and situated on the spectacular waterfront setting of Vancouver's Vanier Park. On the BMO main stage is Taming of the Shrew, a hilarious runaway hit inspired by Bard's 2007 Wild West production. This plays in repertory with the Elizabethan-era romantic comedy Shakespeare in Love. On the Howard Family stage, there are two new innovative productions, Shakespeare's All's Well That Ends Well, set in India in the 1940s, and Coriolanus, a no-holds-barred political tragedy filled with resonance for our time. For tickets and information, visit bardonthebeach.org.
Hello and welcome back.
Hello.
So we just played Strange by Big Thief and Valley's Brackets, My Love by Whitney.
I love Whitney.
I do too. They were they in Smith Westerns? I think they might have been. One of them was in Smith Westerns. And then they created this band in 2016.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. And their first album was amazing. I love it so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that nostalgia, you know, when you just play like the same songs for a whole summer.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. Actually, it's so interesting that you're talking about nostalgia because I was talking about it with a friend last night about how it seems like our culture and everything is just so like enshrined in nostalgia lately. Mm. I don't know if you've like, I mean, like, we were talking about Stranger Things, I think, a few weeks ago on your show and how just like there's that craving for the past. Maybe because there's like no clear future about climate change, which is something that we were going to talk about. But it's just crazy. Like the Arctic's literally on fire.
Yeah.
And like, how do you cope with it? By looking back to the past.
No, you're right. Yeah. And like the climate anxiety and economic anxiety and all of this. Yeah, it totally encourages a return to nostalgia.
And actually, wow, I'm just going to keep tying it into different things. But even one of the Democratic debates last night, I mean, very much like that's how certain people were portraying themselves, like as like continuing this like glorious Obama legacy versus, you know,
some people. Some
versus versus like trying to like, you know, move forward and like it's not about what we can't do, about like what we should do to affect change.
Right.
And so I don't know, it's like it's really interesting how nostalgia has like been used in very interesting ways in the past.
And how nostalgia falls along to the like gender and race.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Line where I feel like, well, cisgender male and white people are more likely to like run on this platform of nostalgia because for them the past was fine, right?
It's whereas, like it's fine now and like the future for us is uncertain.
Right.
So might as well like move forward but look back the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really interesting to just see how that's played out, especially just like not in just media representation, but just day-to-day life and, like, what people are listening to and, like, stuff like that. And it's interesting because, like, I literally am part of a radio show that focuses on disco music and, like, how our culture in general just seems to be, like, looking back for something to hold on to, to, like, go forward. So just interesting thoughts.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's listen to some more music.
Yeah.
Let's do off Necking's new release, Cut Your Teeth, which is an amazing album and is getting a lot of plays.
Yes.
At CITR and for good reason. I think one of the shows, I think Deliberate Noise maybe, might have done a show where it was like just their album, which is, that's great.
Yeah.
I love Necking. And then one of my favorite songs from last year, Almost Had to Start a Fight, off Parquet Court's Wide Awake.
Sounds awesome.
Got out of bed on time, I still exist. Drank fancy wine, I searching for a reason. I'm in the chaos dimension. Reasons eclipsed by tension. I want not to feel numb about death. Fighting, this is not an easy task. Breathing to see if there's any left. Breathing about how many people died it. Can't someone tell me the reason? I'm in the chaos dimension, trapped in a brutal invention. If it stops, I'm having a bad dream. In and out of patience, I just can't keep it around. Most of mine's been taken, as I'll find out I'm out. Had a little love, but I gave it to you. Now someone's at my door. Lighting up my phone, talking in my mood. And all I got left is this shit attitude. All this music's playing in my head. If it stops, I'm having an unshakable nightmare. Don't have enough to share. Sometimes on life itself, I'm neither here nor there. The MTA took the first of it. 20-minute delay wasn't the worst of it. So hot underground, you could burn to death. Now you're right on time to take what I got left. Funky music playing in my head. If it stops, I'm counting on you. This next one's called Freebird 2.
All right, we're back.
Hello.
I love how at the end of that song it says, this next one's called Freebird 2, and then the next one on the album is Freebird 2.
Oh my gosh.
It's so
Freebird.
I love it. And that's why you have to listen to the album in order, too, so that you can say, this next one's called Freebird 2, and then it actually is.
Yeah. Are there shows that, like, normally play, like, multiple songs from an album in an order on CITR, or just, like...
I don't know.
I wonder, because, like, I know that when I was doing community radio back in the U.S., there's, like, FCC prohibitions on how many times you can play an artist in a row during an hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I just, yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, but, I wonder, too.
You know, radio regulations.
Well, I'll never play the whole album, but never. Maybe I'll play those two songs back to back next time.
Maybe.
Hey.
Okay.
Yeah. Could be fun. Should we just steamroll right into some more music?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Woo. Yon just released their new EP. They had an EP release party last week at the Red Gate.
Ooh.
And it's really great. There's 5 songs and they're all... Yon is like the cutest band. They release the cutest music. So we will listen to Song for a City, which should speak to every millennial and younger person living in Vancouver. And then 7 by Men I Trust out of...
Montreal. Yep.
All right. Okay. Let's go.
Doesn't want me here at all. Blood dried on her arm and tracks along all her veins. She was dripping tears and makeup, crying, it's all my fault. But she lives in a city that doesn't want her here at all. You see, lives in a city that doesn't want.
Different. He should have gone to bed, but instead he's too good.
Hello and welcome back.
Hello.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting on the ancestral, unceded, and traditional territory, excuse me, of the Musqueam people. And we are in the waning minutes of our hour here with you.
Aww.
And coming up next is the News Collective's Democracy Watch show.
Awesome.
Very important local coverage.
Also, a shout out, if you are a regular listener of this station, you should tune in tomorrow to Friday Night Fever at 6 o'clock. I'll be there doing some tunes. It's all about Pride this episode, so you guys should definitely tune in and support us.
Woo! Some proud disco.
Some, yes. Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'll leave it at that because you have to tune in.
To find out exactly what you'll be listening to.
Exactamente.
Sounds good. All right, let's close with the obligatory French song I have to play for my mom, which is Voilà by Françoise Hardy, who is super great and fun to listen to. And this is maybe one of her sadder songs, so maybe a little bit less fun. But thank you for tuning in.
And we'll see you later.
Woo! Bye-bye.
Je vais avec les autres. Le temps passe plus mal que bien. C'est comme ça.
My time. I am ready to fly. So come ride or die. I don't need you.
I don't need you.
To waste my time.
Don't waste my time.
I'm way too fly.
Too fly. So come ride or die.
I'm riding home with my hungry belly punch. Ambitious things of revolution. Rob tab ain't bad and hopeless. Broke ass from day one. Gotta focus till business done. Choking on hope, sipping casket rum. Factory run. Play it to death while I play it for fun. Religion's for dead people, so let's live on. Icarus rings, drip zone, that's a table of storm.
My tax 12, give me 100 for the booking. Keyboard gangsters, bomb just for looking. Give me a clue to escape this maze. Heat rises up, I remain in haze. Two dope boys puffing shatter packs. Eating Skittles with the nurse in the aftermath. Give a minute to a minotaur, many disagree. Minnows multiply, so my middle finger to the sea.
I don't need you.
I don't need you.
To waste my time.
Don't waste my time.
I am way too fly.
Too fly.
So come ride or die. I don't need you.
I don't need you.
To waste my time.
Don't waste my time.
I'm way too fly.
Too fly.
So come ride or die. I don't need you.
I don't need you.
To waste my time.
Don't waste my time.
I'm way too fly.
Too fly. So come ride or die.
I don't need you.
I don't need you.
To waste my time.
Don't waste my time.
I'm way too fly.
Too fly. So come ride or die.
It's great. It's too much for a cultural backwater like Vancouver.